everyone, and welcome to Vimo Live. This is a live stream that happens every Wednesday and Saturday at 8 p.m. here on YouTube and also on Twitch. I think you already know where on Twitch, but I'll show it to you one more time. This live stream is also happening at twitch.tv/VimoLive. Twitch is mostly a backup page. If you want to join the show, if you want to call as we do on Saturdays, you could come to YouTube. But you will find a link in the chat momentarily from where you can join. This live stream is about atheism. We do live conversations, some of which turn out to be debates, some of which turn out to be just conversations between like-minded people. It's all okay. I prefer to talk to people who disagree with me. So I will be sharing a link in the chat momentarily. It'll be pinned to the top and you can click on it and you can join me on screen. I haven't shared the link yet. I'm doing it right now. When you join on screen, you should go to the private chat section and you should tell me what you want to talk about so that it becomes easier for me to choose. Click here to join. Click here not to join. The join button is below. Click here to come on screen and talk. Right, I've shared the link. I'll be pinning it to the top. Pin message. And it is pinned. Pinned dan ho gaya. So the link is pinned to the top. You can click on it and you'll come on screen and chat. I will be taking people on, like I'll be choosing the priority of the caller, but everyone who joins, go to the private chat section on the right and tell me what you want to talk about. So it becomes easier for me to choose and decide. We already have some usual suspects waiting in the queue. But before I get to them, let me just remind everyone that the channel is monetized and you can support it by clicking the join button below and becoming a member. You can also send a super chat in the chat like many people do. You can also send money through patreon.com/Vimo or through UPI, Vimo@UPI. That's VIMOH@UPI. All the information is in the ticker. So thank you in advance for all the support you send. I'm an independent content creator. And my work depends on support from people like you. You are essentially the sponsors of this show. We've been doing this for a couple of years. And the only reason it is sustainable is because of people like you. So please don't hesitate. If you can't, it's okay. I know times are bad. Not everyone can afford it. Definitely, agar tumhare life ki priority list mein khana, electricity aur ek independent content creator hai, toh independent content creator ko bottom pe rakho. Feed your own self first and then come to these shows and you know try to help people out. Ho jata hai. So before I start taking callers, let me just read some comments. Manish says, humans can see lions, hence Narsingha Swami. Humans can see elephants, hence Ganesh. Humans can't see dinosaurs, hence there is no dino god. Yeah. If you are going to premise a religion's foundation by saying that it is about eternal wisdom, how come they never mention dinosaurs on this planet? Forget the beginning of the universe. You only knew what was there. Dinosaurs were dug up much later. So that's a good observation. And Manish calls it a random thought. Manish, you are underestimating yourself. That was quite a deep point. Barnali is asking about why religions, why we evolved to feel disgust or shame about sex. It's the way of reproduction and pleasure. Then why is it considered such taboo? Almost all religions call lust a sin. I have already made a video about this, Barnali. I don't know who it was, but someone asked this a long time ago. If you just search on this channel for why is sex something something, you'll find it. It's a clip from this live stream. The essential point was that the act of sexual intercourse and the act of defecation are both positions that make our body vulnerable to attack. So we naturally started doing these things in private, because when you're doing these things, someone can just jump up and attack you. It may not be a person. It can be an animal or an insect, etc. So people try to find secluded spots to do these things in, because if the attack happens then, or something terrible happens then, they won't be able to protect themselves. Over a long period of time, this came to be part of culture as if there was something wrong with the practice itself. That's why, I think. Neo Charvak is here. He points out the same thing. Sex is an act that makes humans very vulnerable to attack, which is why shame evolved. Junaid says, pehle to kabhi kabhi gham tha, ab to har pal hi teri yaad satati hai, ab to har pal hi teri yaad satati hai. I think this is a song. I don't know why I read this out. Luca says, hi, Vimo. How goes your writing? You talking about it always inspires me to be more productive with my own. Yeah, man. I haven't actually. I'm sorry, but I have failed to be an inspiration to you for some time. I myself have kind of been slacking off on the writing front. I intend to get back to it. This time of the year, like, you know, November, December is always when people are like, agle saal se acche se shuru karunga. Main bhi wahi karta hu har saal. I have stuck to a lot of resolutions I made in the last year, which I'm very happy about. But writing a journal was unfortunately not one of them. And I intend to, you know, resolve to do it again. Anyway, so let's start taking calls. Let's go to the private chat and see who wants to talk about what. Deeps is here. Deeps wants to apologize to the audience. Clarification, transcendental as merely personal. Okay, I'll take Deeps first, but let's see who else is there. Deeps, there is nothing to apologize. You expressed an opinion. That's completely okay here. Okay. Deeps, you are online. Go on.
Hi, Vimo.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. So I went through all those comments and I couldn't convey it properly last time. So I apologize for that. I'm also
saddened. You don't need to apologize. You don't need to apologize for anything. Some of the comments were unkind, I realize, but that's the way of the internet. I don't think anybody abused you. They did say some, you know, silly shit. Don't feel bad about it. I don't think you have anything to apologize.
No, many people actually loved me and they said he's on a wrong path. He has to come right. So I could feel their love.
There were those comments also. Yes.
So I'm happy for that. And so basically, what I wanted to say was religion helps you to experience this solipsistic transcendental joy. I don't think atheism offers that.
Yeah, but there are many joys in the world. I suppose if someone wants to feel solipsistic joy, they can go for it. I don't think anything is wrong with that, except that if they take it too seriously, they might lose their grip on reality.
That's true. But I feel religion is a more organized and disciplined way of doing it.
How? So many people lose their grip on reality. Like, you can't do part-time solipsism, right? You either think that the world is inside your head, or you don't think that the world is inside your head. You can't be like, okay, I'm in the mood for a little joy. I will think that the world is inside my head and then I will come out of it. Or is that what you're saying?
Meaning it's like many people have worked on it and it's a more perfected way of doing it rather than you doing individually. So you can find a more systematic way of finding joy, solipsism.
We all engage in willing suspension of disbelief whenever we engage in literature and, you know, cinema or imaginative works. We imagine that this is what reality is and we feel emotion, we feel happy, we cry, etc. Art is already there. I don't think religion is anything different.
But I think, like, for example, in the debates, whenever religious people pushed Christopher Hitchens to the edge about moralism or about this joy, Christopher Hitchens says, this transcendental experience, everyone can experience. There's nothing special. Only religion offers. Anyone can experience it.
I agree. Yeah.
No, but the thing is, with atheism, you have to do it. You have to make it all on your own. In religion, you get push.
See, that transcendental experience is not a part of atheism. Atheism is simply, I don't believe in God. You can believe in atheism. You can not believe in God. And then you can say, I'm interested in fooling myself into believing this for some time so that I can feel happy. Some atheists watch movies, some atheists don't watch movies. Atheism has nothing to do with any of it. And the transcendental joy that people talk about can be gotten through plenty of things. People experience it in cinema halls. People come out. I personally feel that when someone comes out of a cinema hall and tells other people, you have to watch this film, it is not much different from religious evangelism. Somebody felt really happy, they want to share that happiness.
But it's kind of a tone thing in entertainment industry. It's kind of split in the atheist world. In religious world, it's all consolidated in one place.
You keep calling it the atheist world. Religious people also watch movies. I don't think this experiencing joy is any part of atheism. Atheism has nothing to do with it. People who are religious can experience transcendental joy. But that similar kind of joy is available to anyone, regardless of whether they are part of religion or atheists or something else.
Oh, okay. So that was my position, actually. So atheists can be moral. Atheists can have this transcendental experience. And Christopher Hitchens calls it numenism. He says atheists can do all these things. You don't need religion. But what I felt was religion is like a push. It's very easy to do. It is like going in a car from one place to another. And atheism is like walking from one place to another. I think it's more
My problem is that religion perhaps makes it too easy. It shouldn't be that easy to give up reality, right?
I think that's the disadvantage of religion.
Yeah. Is that all? That's all you wanted to say?
And I also want to request you, can you remove my previous videos which you uploaded? I came on live so that I can explain it to you. So I just want you to remove
previous videos, as in the clips I uploaded to my main channel or here on the live stream?
Yeah, on the Instagram you uploaded my clips, right? So I just want you to remove those. Like, I want
Khali Instagram. Do you want me to remove them from just Instagram or YouTube also?
From YouTube also. So it was like it's too like a personal thing for me, and I don't want people to misunderstand it.
I get it. I will remove it, but for future reference, please don't come on a live YouTube channel and then say to remove the video. It hurts the channel, you know.
Oh, okay.
It hurts my So what I will do is that I will let the live stream remain. The clips of you that I uploaded on the private channel, I will make them private. On Instagram, I'll also delete it. But don't do this again. Don't, like, you showed your face of your own choice, man.
No, I didn't force you to. It's easy for explanation. So.
Yeah, but don't do this. Don't do this on a YouTube channel. You're asking for the first time, and you seem to have a good point. I don't want you to, like, you know, have this out in public and be ridiculed for it. So I will do it. But so, don't do this again.
I will end this with just one question. Why don't you call it subjective truth? Why do you call it personal belief? That's kind of insulting the thing. So can't you call it a subjective truth or subjective?
What is the difference?
Subjective truth gives more respect for it. So many people will respect it and they can share my subjective truth.
When I say imagination, I don't mean disrespect. I am a writer. Do you think I think my profession is bad? When I call something imagination, I'm not insulting it. Why do you think calling something imagination is an insult? And what kind of respectability comes with subjective truth?
No, not at all. It's not bad.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. It's just words. It's just words. People use subjective truth, but then subjective truth becomes to be seen as something different from imagination. And that, I think, becomes the source of the problem, because I think it is important to realize that the kind of experiences people talk about religious-wise is not much different from entertainment. If more people realize that it is kind of entertainment, more people will not take it seriously. And I pointed out, right, religion makes it too easy to take it seriously.
Yeah. That's true. So these gods are chemically traceable in the head and subjectively verifiable. Does that make sense?
Chemically traceable in the head as in?
And subjectively verifiable.
No, what do you mean by chemically traceable in the head?
They exist in our brains.
Batman also exists in my brain.
Yeah, Batman exists in the brain, but we do it in a more realistic way. We actually feel
how?
It. Like, In my village, I have seen people who will enact the god's role, and we used to have people acting.
At Comic Con, I have seen people enact Joker at the Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman. How is that different?
It's the same thing, but I think in the Batman, Spider-Man, you just see it in the screen. In religion, you enact it and you feel it. You feel
At Comic Con, have you ever been to a Comic Con?
No.
A Comic Con is a convention of comic book fans. They go dressed as Batman. Dressed as Superman, and they act as if they're Batman. People do this all the time. It's not different. It's the same thing. It's just that this cosplay is new, and that cosplay is really old. Everyone who is dressed up in favor of the religion, be they from any religion, the costumes, the caps, the dresses, the necklaces, the hairstyles, it's all cosplay. It's just really old cosplay.
Oh, I thought it's a way of preserving those high values and everyone treats you as God, you treat others as God, and it's a very loving ecosystem. That's what I felt. So I don't want that.
Comic-Cons are also very loving ecosystems.
I feel it's very superficial.
People love comics, right? People love comic books, and people love... I think religion is superficial. It's also, if it is superficial, then religion and Comic-Cons are equally superficial. If they're not superficial, then they're equally deep.
Okay, so see, a guru is a person who can stay in this state and help others to get back to this mature, this way of seeing. A guru cannot give medical advice. A guru should not talk about other fields. That's people taking those advices from those gurus for medical reason or other reason is the blame of the people. Like, why do they blame the guru for that? Like,
if the guru is telling you to do something, if the guru... Suppose there's a religious guru who says, go hurt that person. Those people are bad. And then that person goes and does something bad. They hurt that people. Should the guru not be at least called out for saying so? The person did the thing, but the guru taught them to do it, right?
I really don't get why these gurus give advice on medicine. And I really don't understand why.
That's true. Yeah. They should stick to their lane. They should, like, you know, be the... community leaders who, you know, be good to each other, that sort of stuff. But when they go beyond that, they say science is wrong. I know everything. Our textbooks, our ancient texts knew everything. That's when they cross the line.
Yeah. They should not cross the boundary.
Yeah.
But there are people like Ramana Maharishi, some great people who just remain calm, help people to come back to sanity. Like, there are good people, amazing people in our civilization.
Yeah, see, the problem is, suppose you find a guru who does not do anything bad, right? And that guru is okay. But then the image of the guru as the person who sits on a stage, wears a certain kind of clothes and gives you advice about life remains in the mind of the person. And the next time they find a different guru who's not as nice as this one and he tells them something bad and they say, they're both looking the same. They both talk about the same religion, the same scriptures, the same costumes they're wearing. So I might as well listen to this one also. The image of the guru does a lot of damage.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So, by the way, I have removed that clip from Instagram and I have removed it from my main YouTube channel. Live stream, what I will do, I cannot remove the entire live stream for you. Right?
What I will try to do
is that I'll blur out your face if that's you, what you want.
No, it's fine. You don't have to do anything.
It's fine.
That's fine.
Cool.
So you realize,
right? This is how I make my living. If I start removing videos from the channel, I lose out on my income also.
I'm sorry for that.
No issues.
So basically the whole thing is about life, treating life as sacred. So even if you take evolution by natural selection, there should have been something causing that first protoplasm to replicate, the life to kickstart, right? It's somehow embedded within the laws of physics. In religion, we discover it subjectively. So we just find...
No, you don't discover it subjectively. You make up a story about it. There is no discovery without data. Even scientists who have looked into it their entire life have not found the data because it's impossible to get the data about how life came into being. There are some theories out there, but they're being worked on. In religion, all you do is that you close your eyes and you imagine something. That is what I've been trying to tell you. It's imagination. It's not an answer.
I am life, so I just recognize the fact that I don't have death because I am life.
No, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. I am also alive. I don't exactly what process do you use by closing your eyes, whereby you find that you know the secret to how life came into being.
That's what we call it, dissociation. We just dissociate from all the thoughts, everything, and we find I'm just a pure life. Within the laws of physics.
No, you don't. That's not how science works. That's not how origin of life research works. You cannot close your eyes and come to the conclusion about how life works. That life is a biological process. The way we tried for centuries to find that answer subjectively and we got nowhere. The only answers we have gotten is by empirical evidence, by the scientific method, and by evaluating the evidence that we found and then coming to conclusions by building theories around it.
Scientists will find it objective. Let's call it some parameter XYZ. Scientists will find it objectively, but here we find it subjectively.
No, you don't find it subjective. You keep saying you're finding it subjectively, but you're essentially not finding anything. You tell me this. Tell me this. Before science came to the conclusion that the process of evolution by natural selection works, which religion ever imagined that this is how life works?
None.
Exactly. So they were not finding it subjectively, were they? Coming up with theories. They were making up stories about, okay, the first man must have been there, the first woman must have been there, or the gods and the demons must have churned the ocean, or, you know, something similar. They were not finding anything subjectively. No one has ever found anything subjective. The only thing you can find subjectively is emotional realities. It has got nothing to do with life, which is a biological process.
Yeah, we are not interested with the explanations. We just, when an individual identifies it, he just becomes a good human being. That's all.
Finds out what?
That I am life. I am the one which started as a single cell. I'm just continuing the evolution. I am a life. I'm not so and so. I don't have this position in the society. So they were called the people who renounce everything. Make an individual reach this state.
No sannyasi in the history of Hinduism has ever closed his eyes and said that I was a cell once upon a time. They started saying it after evolution came to be discovered and verified by scientists. I'll tell you something. I am a huge fan of philosophers who make their work compatible with our scientific understanding of the world. You get into slippery territory when you take your philosophical worldview and you start saying things like, this is a replacement for science. You take stuff from science and then you try to replace science by making up stories. Like this Dashavatar thing being representative of evolution or something.
Oh, no.
That's where the slippery slope starts. That is what should not be done.
Even in my dream, I won't tell anyone to go to a healer or a spiritual healer. Even in my dream, I won't say that. That's dangerous. I know that.
No, you can do it in your dreams. It's okay.
So yeah. So basically the vitalists tried to give some legitimacy to this, and through abiogenesis, they disproved it. And the spiritual people, all they're trying to tell us, this life is somehow apart, that continues to live after death. That's kind of problematic, because that's why we have reproductive system. If we are going to live after death, we don't need a reproductive system.
Yeah.
But I think there is something which continues after death. At least
I don't understand that part. What did you say about reproductive system and life after death?
If there is life after death, if we are going to continue after death, we don't need reproduction. There's no need to reproduce kids because we are going to be there, right?
Well, not necessarily. If you're going to justify, if someone, like I'm an imaginative person, if I wanted to justify life after death, I could probably find ways to do it despite reproductive system.
No, but the body is destroyed. So reproduction is, that itself shows that there's no continuity after death. But we are interested in the...
Like, I'm not going to fight you on this. I don't think there is life after death. So I'm not going to spend time trying to explain that how life after death could work if I were to imagine it. That's okay.
No, I'm saying so. But so, because of all this, we are interested in the ontology of consciousness. So, is there something in this which does not get destroyed at death? That's our whole effort in religion. Is there something in me which does not die with death so that I can hold on to it? So, that gives me a direction in life. So that's why we are talking about ontology of who
you
am
can
I.
Have you can have direction in life without thinking that you will continue to exist after you die. Do you think it is impossible?
But how? I don't see atheists are like present a worldview where after death everything is over. There's only one life. We have to enjoy it to the maximum. I think those are dangerous.
Yeah. So. So if an atheist says, ki, there is only one life, I'm not going to exist after I die, I better use whatever time I have to help people.
If there are such good people, it's great. But one life theory is like driving people crazy. I have only one life.
No, it's not. The world, the entire world is full of people who live good, decent lives despite not believing in an afterlife. Who says that in order to be good or to have purpose in life, you have to believe that you will continue to exist after you die?
If I'm eternal, I can do things in a more calm and perfect way instead of hurrying through.
No, if you think that you're going to die when you die, you can also do things in a calm and perfect way. You live for like 60, 70, 80 years. That's plenty of time to do great things.
okay, I'll think about it. And so these were my few fears of atheism.
Yeah, these are what?
My fears about atheism, about accepting atheism.
Yeah, they're completely not based on anything. Don't fear atheism. Don't fear atheism. Try to become comfortable with the fact that life is finite and that you have an opportunity right now to do good in the world. That's it.
Yeah, when I hear Christopher Hitchens, Matt Delahunt, I get this fear of God. If I become an atheist, one life, it's so constrictive. I have to, it's fear of scary to get into it.
Tips, so can I recommend a book to you? There is a book. So Christopher Hitchens died of cancer, right?
Yeah, throat cancer. Yes, some esophagus.
Yeah. He, when he discovered that he had cancer, he wrote a small book. It's called Mortality. It's about living with the knowledge that you're going to die.
Okay.
Try to find this book and try to read it. It's not very big. It's like super thin. It's like the size of a magazine. It's essentially a long essay. Try to get this book and read it. It might help you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you. Chalo.
Bye bye.
Bye.
That was Deep's ek extra kaam aa gaya, Deep ka face blur karna. I mean, he doesn't want it, but I'll still do it. I can't remove his presence from the video, but I can blur his thing out. I've already removed it from the YouTube channel and the Instagram handle. I know some of you will say that I don't have to, but I wonder if I should just tell people to not use their webcam from now on. Because if someone says something that they later, it's a live stream, right? They can't avoid it. If someone says something that they later think that this remaining in public will become weird for me, first of all, don't do it. Don't come on a live stream on a YouTube channel and then expect privacy. It doesn't work like that. And secondly, maybe I should do something about it. I'll think about it. Anyway, let's take Surya. Hi, Surya. What's up?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go on.
Yeah. So, okay. I heard that some people give about pleasure.
Surya, could you repeat your sentence? You kind of got cut off.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay. So, like, I've seeing some people argue this point about pleasure, that apparently pleasure is not something we can experience through external stuff, but rather internally. What do you make of such an argument?
Like, is this your argument or someone else's argument?
It's someone else's argument.
Did they tell you what they mean by it? Because I agree if they say that pleasure is only experienced in the brain. That's essentially what Deeps was saying some couple of weeks ago. But that does not mean that the stimulus that comes from outside is immaterial. Like, I experience pleasure in my brain, right? I experience everything in my brain. But that does not mean my brain is the only thing. If I'm drinking a milkshake and I feel happy, sure, the happiness is being experienced in my brain. But I would not be able to experience it without the substance that is the milkshake.
Right. Surya? Understood. Yeah. So, okay, so we can experience pain inside, hello, but we can't. But that doesn't mean that it's only exclusive to in there. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah. Yeah. People oversimplify this. People say that subjective experience is all there is. Sure. What you mean by that is that you have a brain, and without the brain, you would not be able to experience anything. But that does not mean that the thing that causes the experience to happen is immaterial or that it does not exist.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah.
And I have another question. Have you heard of antinatalism, that philosophical position?
Antinatalism, yeah.
Yeah, I want to know your opinion. Yeah, I want to know your opinion on that.
People come every once in a while and ask me about it. They say that, we should not have children. And frankly, I'm not really opposed to the idea that having children is a bad idea in this day and age, because you're essentially bringing your child into a really terrible place politically, culturally, climate change wise. But I don't think I'm going to tell people to not have children. I think there is merit in deciding to not have children. But people who do want to have children I'm not going to tell them that they should not have children as if it's a moral imperative.
Right. Can we say that like antinatalism is something that is better off, like what to say, not being advocated for unnecessarily? Like
what?
Can we say that like it's better not to advocate for like other people to take on this position if they...
Yeah. Okay. Because some of the arguments that I've heard from people is that the child did not consent to be born. Well, the child did not consent to, you know, not be born either.
Yeah, that's a tricky argument I've noticed. One argument which I stumble upon sometimes.
You apply consent to situation, like, you know, you take consent. Some days ago, somebody said, I did not consent to seeing your post on my Instagram feed. I said, great, now that you have seen it and you have come to the conclusion that you don't want to see it, block me. Right? But that takes the idea of consent and applies it to a context where which it was not designed for.
Understood. Okay.
Yeah.
And one final question. What are your thoughts on dual citizenship for like NRIs? Like, do you think we should?
I have no opinion on it. I have no. I'm okay with it. If some countries allow dual citizenship, I'm okay with it. If some countries decide that they don't want to allow it, that's also I'm okay with. It's not a big deal.
Even with respect to India, let's say?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Okay. Like, do you have a point against it?
No, not really. I just wanted to know your opinion on it. Yeah. Anyways, I
don't really have a position on it. I don't care that much.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. See you. Thank you, Surya. Bye-bye. That was Surya. I hope people don't mind that once the call gets over, I remove you from the thing. Like the button says kick them out. I hope you don't get a notification saying Vimo kicked you out. But I'm just trying to make more space for people because it's always full and there are only 10 slots. So if someone is not able to join, every time a call ends, try to join in again and you should be able to get in because the slot has been opened up. There is Undaily. Hi, are you Daily Undaily or some other Undaily? Undaily Khandan.
This is only me.
Okay, cool. Oh, you said you wanted to be taken in the later part of the stream. Yes. Sorry, I took you early.
Yes. Did
you not want to talk about something?
I want to talk about something, but in later part.
Okay, cool. I'll take you off and bring you back later. Let's see. There is. Let's take this person. We want to discuss gender affirming care in minors and detransitioning. Anuj, I'm not sure I'm the right person to talk about this. I have my opinions about this and you already know them. But let's see. Lete hain Anuj ko. Kya bolte hain? Anuj, you're online.
Hello.
Haan, boliye.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, you're audible.
Yeah, hi Vimo.
Hi.
Yeah, so I wanted to just ask you, like, gender affirming care is becoming more well known and people are practicing it, and some conservatives say it is bad for minors to do it, and some the LGBTQ community says it's not a big issue, like minors can also,
it's a non-issue, it is a manufactured issue.
Yeah. So, but if we really think about it, I mean, I've thought about it, like, what some people, even some adults who have went through gender affirming care later in the days, they feel that they have made a mistake and they go through the detransitioning process.
Can you give me an example? Like, where have you read about this?
I've seen many people. I think it is. I mean, since America is very very liberal and many people go through gender affirming cares there. So yeah, I've seen many people do that in America.
Seen many people as in you personally know trans people who have gone through gender affirming care and they have told you that they regret it?
Not like I have talked.
Then how do you then I'm just trying to, I'm not mocking you or anything. I'm just asking what is the source of this?
I've seen the stories and they have talked about in the videos. I'm not against it. Like
can you send me some of these stories? Because what I know is that a study was done of like a few hundred students of universities, if I'm remembering correctly. I also shared a reel about this on my Instagram, where zero of them regretted transitioning or, you know, availing of gender affirming care. Every single person who was surveyed said that they were happy to have done this. Whatever problems they were facing in life was not because of the transitioning. It was because of the way they were treated by other people because of the transitioning. So you are seen like a man, and but you are a woman, and you assert that, you go through gender affirming care and you start looking more like a woman, or you start looking more like the gender that you feel like, and other people start rejecting you, and then you feel bad. So that was the only regret that I know people experience. Otherwise, statistics and studies show that gender affirming care has done wonders for their mental health. In fact, the rate of suicide among trans people who are unable to avail of gender affirming care was quite high.
Okay. I mean, it's not very big. I mean, it's not a big population that have gone through detransitioning. But I've seen some people...
Relatively speaking, compared to the population of humans in this world, it's a very small number. But it is in and of itself not a small number. Trans people are huge in numbers. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen people who are come to the terms that, no, I think I'm not the gender I thought I was, and gone back to, done the detransition process.
I don't think they say, I'm not the gender I thought I was. They usually say, I am not the gender everybody else thinks that I am. Children as young as 5 or 6 are able to tell what their gender is, or if they belong to the gender that everyone tells them they are.
Okay.
This is like a matter of record. The research papers have been written about this.
Okay. I thought like if the detransitioning happens, it is not right for minors to go through that process, right? Go through and transitioning once and again detransitioning.
Why not?
I mean, it's like making a mistake, right? I mean, we have to go through the process. The child has to go through the process again and face the issues.
What process? What process are you talking about?
Like surgeries.
Children usually, okay, see, here's the confusion. Gender affirming care is not always surgery. It can be something as simple as makeup. It can be as simple as clothes. It can be as simple as hair, right?
Yeah.
So if a child is unhappy and it's repeatedly telling its parents that I'm like, the child is seen as a boy, the child says I'm a girl, and the parents allow the child to express themselves as a girl,
okay,
then the child is going to be happier. And as I mentioned, the risks of their feeling alienated and at the risk of suicide go down. So what is a more terrible decision? Not letting a child express their gender identity, which is why it would matter to someone else, I don't even understand. Someone somewhere else wants to be seen as a girl, and you have your chaddis in a bunch because, not you specifically, conservatives, you have your chaddis in a bunch because you know they should just be what they have been, what the doctor at the hospital decided when they were born. How does it matter to someone else? If a child is going to be happier as a result of dressing the way they want, let them. Who cares? How does it matter?
Okay, that's a good point. I don't think there is an age, right, for the surgeries and stuff, for the minimum age.
See, that's why I said I'm not an expert on this. I know this much, but on more than that, I think there is something to be said about puberty blockers that people take in order to, you know, prevent their bodies from becoming really complicated. Other people do facial surgery to look more masculine or feminine. Other people do more bodily surgeries. And those are all decisions that are an individual's decision. It's if someone wants to do plastic surgery, you won't stop them, right? If someone wants to color their hair, you won't stop them. This is just people expressing their gender identity. In young children, gender affirming care does not always mean surgery. That is the great misconception. It doesn't always mean surgery. It can be something as simple as doing your hair.
Okay. I mean, as you said, puberty blockers and hormone blockers, that is also kind of going through a process, right? Like, what if they are not sure about the gender they are?
Do you think the person who's taking puberty blockers in order to express their gender identity properly, according to them, is making a mistake?
No. I mean,
so if they don't think they're making a mistake, why are you so worried about it?
No, it's not like I'm worried about worried about that kid or anything. Even I
Anuj, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
What is your gender?
Let's say it's ma'am. Yeah.
So your pronouns are he, him?
Yeah.
Are you asking this for yourself or for someone else?
Got it. So
you were just saying.
So I'm thinking. It's not like I'm against the kid or anything. It's both the side. I've thought about the both the side. Like starting gender affirming care early on, like taking hormone blockers or puberty blockers, will be a good thing for the kid because, I mean, they don't have to go through the puberty process, which they don't agree with. So that is a good thing. But what I thought was, I mean, what if they are still confused? Many, even some of the adults are still confused about their gender, right? It is a spectrum. So what if they go through the surgery and decide to go through the surgery and further in the future, they think, okay, maybe I'm a boy child who is assigned a boy as a birth, in the birth, and they think I'm a girl and I need to go through this gender affirming case to become a girl. And after the surgery and after a few years, they think that, oh no, maybe I'm not more feminine. Maybe I'm non-binary or maybe something like that. Not like particularly a fully feminine girl or something. Maybe I'm non-binary or something. So what if...
So that decision will be... See, I don't want to speak on behalf of everyone, obviously. But if hypothetically there was a person who was unable to decide, for example, then they should take the time to decide, right?
They should take the time to decide.
Speak to therapists, speak to psychiatrists, speak to psychologists, speak to the kind of people who are experts on these matters, who have spoken to a number of such people before, and then make up your mind. I told you, I'm not an expert in this. I can tell you about the sociological aspects of this and the research that has been done, but I am probably not the best person to ask about whether or not it is, right to transition, especially when I don't even know the person.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. And another thing I wanted to ask was, transgender people in the area of sports, should they be allowed to go to the gender they are, participate in the sports as the gender they have identified as, or shouldn't they be allowed at all?
You should ask this to someone who is a trans person and a trans athlete. There are plenty of such people. You can find some of them on Instagram also. I have seen the reels, but I must confess I'm not well versed enough about this particular topic to comment on it. So I will probably try to refrain from it. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
Because I'm not even that much into sports, man.
Okay, even me too. I'm just asking, like, there is non-binary stuff. I mean, there are not only two genders, right? So
that's why. So there are trans athletes. Find them and speak to them, and I'm sure they will be able to give you a better perspective on this.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anuj. Thank you. Bye bye. I am so stupid. Anyway. Let's take Nemo. Hi, Nemo. You're online.
Hi, Vimo. Hi. So I had just one question to ask you, but hearing your conversations with other people, I have had like a ton of doubts. I just want to talk about like antinatalism. So your stand on it was like you are not very opposed to it, and that's fine. But I just wanted your opinion on artificially producing humans. For instance, artificial wombs, right? There's been ton of research going on, and with declining global fertility rates, I think even corporations are kind of like, I mean, corporate and the governments across the world are interested in the research in this. Like, what's your opinion on it? Should this be like ethical? Should this be legal? Like, should
I'm suspicious of artificially created humans by corporations.
Okay, but governments at least.
I'm going to be suspicious of certain ethical, with respect to certain ethical aspects of it. But generally speaking, I don't think I have a view on this, because this is honestly the first time this question has been asked to me. I have read science fiction stories about this. I have seen the nightmare scenarios. I have also seen the sort of kind of utopian scenarios. Reproduction tends to be very political over there in the West, and increasingly here also. I don't really have an opinion on it. The only thing I can tell you for sure is that corporations should stay the fuck out of it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And the original question I had was, like, when someone says like they are being rational about it, do you feel like the rationality is like a single worldview, single view that is like all truth and nothing else? Because I feel like the way you run propaganda tends to define how rational a person is, right? Like, for instance,
so rationality does not have such a universal definition, because rationality, I think there are people who'll call themselves rational Hindus or rational Muslims, rational Christians even. And the definition would be, if someone is Christian and they believe that God exists and that these are the rules that God wants us to follow, and they follow all that and they live completely in sync with that worldview, then they're being rational. In India, the word rational has a slightly different connotation, because we have a class of people. We have people who call themselves rationalists, whose job it is to encourage rational thinking in society. So the word has a different meaning in India. A rationalist means someone who's engaged in busting superstitions. A rationality, when someone says I'm rational, I usually try to find out what exactly they mean by it, because it can mean a bunch of different things.
Okay, so you're saying like rational people also have opposing views.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Half the time, 90% of the time, I don't even understand what someone means when they say be rational. What do you mean? According to what worldview? Are you asking me to be rational in the sense that rationalists are rational? Or are you a rational Christian? Or are you a rational something else? I don't know. So I try to figure out what they mean.
And one more thing, I kind of watched your previous videos. In the introduction of your video, I think like you said, you were used to be kind of a conservative, and I mean, not super conservative, but kind of leaning towards conservatism. But now you are kind of towards liberalism, but still not very pro-liberal, not very pro-conservative, right? Like somewhere in between.
No, I used to be a liberal before I was a conservative. Then I became a conservative. Now I'm kind of leftist.
And you are kind of currently leftist. What is the position?
Leftist.
Okay, leftist is like, they are like into liberalism, but I mean, liberals and left have some issues that they do not agree with also, correct?
Yeah.
Right. So you are leftist, like hardcore.
Not hardcore, socialist.
Okay, you're a socialist.
I think healthcare and education should be free for everyone. I think that it is the government's job to provide for those who cannot provide for themselves. That kind of leftist.
Okay. All right. So there could be nuances, but socialist, and I mean, free healthcare and free education. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted your opinion on liberalism versus conservatism. As far as I found in liberal societies, there is two kinds of bindings. One is like, I mean, the person is like super free, or there is a binding within the group so that the group kind of has more power on individuals of that group. This is like conservatism, right? Like this is conservative societies where the group of the people that the society is in, the group itself has got more say on the individual's freedom, right? Like how free an individual can be.
Well, this is what conservative necessarily is. Not necessarily always. The American conservative never shuts up about hyper-individualism, right?
Is that so? But they all tend to behave like a group, right? Like they say, like
they do. But on paper, their approach to policy is very hyper individualistic. You know, hustle culture, hard work, and you know, Ayn Rand kind of individual merit that brings about radical change in society. That sort of thing. American conservatism has hyper individualism at its core, and the new left that is emerging in America is often very socialist, which means that, you know, communities, solidarity and all that, unions and all, it's very communal. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. But I just have this question, like, what if in a society, like there's two kinds of societies, okay? I mean, two societies, one very pro-liberal in the sense like individual freedoms are valued more so that the binding in the group is less, but the other society where the binding in the group is more. Would you think that the society with the binding in the group that is more, right, like there's more binding in that society too, if it wants to kind of conquer society one, it would be easy because they are working as a group, they're functioning as a group, but the other one is like kind of...
Let me understand what you say. Let me just restate what you said and you tell me if I got you right. There are two societies. Right. One is very communal and the social, cultural, the group identity is more important than the individual identity, and there is another society where the individual identity is more important than the group identity. If these two societies clash, which one will win?
Right, exactly.
My answer would be that it is not that simple a clash, because no society is completely communal or completely individualistic. A completely individualistic society will quickly break apart, right? Because everyone is just caring about themselves. A completely communal society will suppress the individual voice to such a great extent that nothing original will ever be said except for that which has already been said. And that society will stop growing and will die as a result of it.
Okay.
In addition to this, as I pointed out sometime before, a lot of societies which claim to be communal are actually not communal. They are hyper-individualistic, which tends to become a problem in and of itself. They... on a personal level, they say individualism, like my choice, my etc., etc. And in the name of that, they prevent the government from doing things for people who need help, because they think that the people who need help should just buck up and do it themselves, just like they did. And they ignore the fact that they have generational wealth, caste privilege, white privilege, and what have you. So it's not as simple as that. We try to create this, you know, we try to create this hypothetical scenario with a society that is completely this and a society that is completely this and try to dono ko peeting it, to kya hoga? It doesn't ever work like that in the real world.
Okay.
Basically, the short answer is the conflict that you're asking me about, what will happen if this conflict happened? That conflict is impossible. It will not happen in the real world.
Okay. Not exactly sure about that, but all right. So, when you say like you lean left, it's more of a socialist point, is that you're also economically left, I guess, right?
As in?
Socialists are economically left then.
As in? And like, what do you mean exactly, by that?
Like policies, they make economic policies that are more socialist, right? Which is like free healthcare and everything, free education, free health.
Policies should be made to help those who cannot help themselves.
Right.
Or are unable to help themselves because of societal conditions, like, you know, caste, economic disparity and all that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
What about our current government's position on the economic policies? Are they socialist? Economically, are they socialist or are they more leaning into capitalist?
Well, to quote Meghna, they're only socialist for Adani. सरकार बहुत मदद कर रही है पर सिर्फ अडानी जी की.
Okay. But why do all the people pick on him only? But because I think Ambani has also gotten a lot of favors from both the political
I pick on both. Adani has become the mascot of it, and honestly, there is plenty of evidence in the recent past about how massive corruption has been done to make life easier for him and his businesses.
Okay.
I'm not saying Ambani doesn't do it, but in the recent past, the largest examples of this that we saw have been with Adani. Adani was at one point the richest man. short, like, you know, the rapid growth that we saw from a few years ago till now, and now his fortunes have kind of turned and he's come down again. But the rapid growth that we saw obviously was made him the singular target of this. I'm pretty anti-capitalist. I'm against Ambani and Adani, but Adani is the biggest example of it right now.
But people were also anti-capitalist against Tatas and Birlas during their time, which is 80s and 70s, I think. But they don't speak about them.
I know what is happening now.
But why don't they pick on them now? Even now, they are still capitalists. No? Like, why is it that they give funding to all
these? People are always going to pick up on the biggest example that is available right now, right?
Okay.
And the biggest example right now is Adani.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Cool.
Thanks. Those are the questions. Thank you.
Bye-bye. That was Nemo. Oh, God. I just saw Sapien ka reason for wanting to join. Sapien is still online and Sapien says, I want to be the first caller. So that ship has sailed, Sapien, but I'll take you. Bolo, Sapien, you're online.
Hello.
Haan.
Hello, sir.
I can hear you. Go on.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about the rising influence of religion in India. So I think कि पूरे दुनिया में लोग religion और superstition से बाहर आते जा रहे हैं और हम उसके अंदर ही जाते जा रहे हैं. हम we are diving deep into superstitions and into religion.
What's the reason? पूरी दुनिया में भी superstition के अंदर लोग जा रहे हैं. ऐसा नहीं कि सिर्फ भारत में हो रहा है.
पर ज्यादातर जो लोग हैं वो तो बाहर ही आ रहे हैं ना.
ज्यादातर लोग हैं क्या?
ज्यादातर लोग तो बाहर आ रहे हैं ना रिलीजन से और सुपरस्टिशन से. एटलीस्ट नॉट रिलीजन बट सुपरस्टिशन.
देखो ये जो अभी कुछ देर पहले फैला कि कोरोना वायरस का जो वैक्सीन है उसके अंदर कोई कंप्यूटर माइक्रोचिप डाल के हमारे बॉडी के अंदर डाल रहा है, वो भी तो सुपरस्टिशन ही है ना. वो आज का सुपरस्टिशन है पर सुपरस्टिशन तो है. पूरी दुनिया मिस इन्फॉर्मेशन की तरफ बदल घूम रही है. हमारे पास मिस इन्फॉर्मेशन का एक बहुत पुरानी परंपरा है जो कि धर्म और अंधविश्वासों से आती है और इसलिए हमको नए वाले इन्वेंट नहीं करने पड़ते. पर जिसके पास नहीं है वो भी वही कर रहे हैं. पूरी दुनिया मिस इन्फॉर्मेशन की तरफ घूम रही है.
ओके. और फिर भी जब भी हम इंडिया से बाहर के लोगों को देखते हैं, सिर्फ वेस्टर्न ही नहीं एशियन भी लोगों को देखते हैं, तो वो लोग नहीं लगते. जितने इंडियंस जितने रिलीजन के अंदर है उतने वो लोग भी नहीं लगते.
किसको देखा
उतने सुपर चीज? मैंने वैसे किसी को देखा तो नहीं, लेकिन नहीं है ना इतने
ये दूर के ज्यादा. ये कहावत सुनी आपने, दूर के ढोल सुहावने?
हाँ.
The grass is always greener on the other side. So, मेरी एक दोस्त थी जो कोरिया गई थी और वहां पे कुछ साल रही. कोरिया जाने से पहले वो बहुत खुश थी. अरे कोरिया का कल्चर, कोरिया कितना मॉडर्न है, कोरिया में बैंडविड्थ कितना अच्छा है. पर वहां से जब वो लौट के आई मैंने बोला अच्छा कोरिया कैसा था, वो बोला इट वॉजंट ऑल दैट इट वॉज क्रैक्ड अप टू बी. सो जब आप किसी समाज के अंदर रहते हैं आप उसकी बुराइयों के साथ बहुत अच्छी तरह से अवगत रहते हैं, जैसा कि आप भारत के बारे में हैं. पर जब आप बात करते हैं किसी और समाज के बारे में दूर के ढोल हमेशा सुहावने लगते हैं. ऐसे गोरे हैं जो भारत को देखकर बोलते हैं देखो अमेरिका में प्रॉब्लम ही प्रॉब्लम है, भारत देखो कितना अच्छा कर रहा है. उनको पता नहीं भारत के अंदर की प्रॉब्लम्स क्या है, जो रहता है उसे पता होता है. सो जब आप बाहर के देशों को देखते हैं आपको हमेशा लगता है कि वहाँ कंडीशन बेटर है, पर ऑब्जेक्टिवली देखोगे तो कंडीशन हर जगह वही फटी पुरानी, मतलब बहुत खराब है.
हाँ वो भी है. सही है.
ठीक है इतना ही था?
और नहीं इतना ही नहीं था, और छोटा सा बात करना था.
हाँ जल्दी बोलो.
दो चार सालों से बहुत बड़ा ट्रेंड हो गया है कि एक साउथ एशिया का मैप लिया जाता है और उसके ऊपर ऑरेंज कलर पेंट करके वो प्रोफाइल फोटो पे लगाया जाता है और उसको अखंड भारत बोला जाता है. तो व्हाट एग्जैक्टली इट इज और आपके थॉट्स क्या है उसके ऊपर?
इट्स अ फैंटेसी. ये मैप मैंने पाकिस्तानियों से भी देखे हैं, वो लोग ऑरेंज की जगह ग्रीन का इस्तेमाल करते हैं. अपेरेंटली वी आर गोइंग टू फाइट दिस वॉर ऑफ सिविलाइजेशंस विद बकेट्स ऑफ पेंट. हम लोग ऑरेंज पेंट फेंकेंगे चारों तरफ, वो लोग ग्रीन पेंट फेंकेंगे और सिविलाइजेशन वॉर होगी. इट्स अ फैंटेसी. पाकिस्तानी कहते हैं ग्रेटर पाकिस्तान की बातें में, अरे में और उनका वो जो फैंटेसी मैप होता है उसमें पूरा इंडिया ग्रीन हो चुका होता है. इंडिया के जो संघीय हैं वो लोग हर जगह ऑरेंज फेंकते रहते हैं और कहते हैं कि अखंड भारत यहाँ से लेकर अफगानिस्तान तक, और जापान वापान भी ले ही लेते हैं उसके अंदर थोक के भाव. सो इट्स
हाँ एकदम वो साउथ, एकदम साउथ ईस्ट तक.
हाँ मुझे तो लगता है किसी दिन अंटार्कटिका ले जाएंगे. जापान में ऐसे लोग हैं जो चाहते हैं कि जापान का विस्तार हो, चाइना में ऐसे लोग हैं जो चाइना का विस्तार चाहते हैं, अमेरिका में तो हमेशा बात करते रहते हैं इस देश पे बॉम्ब डालो या उस देश पे बॉम्ब डालो. वो लोग मैप नहीं बनाते, हम मैप बनाते हैं और क्या.
सही है.
Cool.
पर अगर जो हम है वो अगर बात करेंगे कि एक EU जैसे यूनियन के बारे में बात करते हैं तो फिर उसको फिर सपोर्ट करना चाहिए ना. फिर अगर EU जैसा एक यूनियन के बारे में हम बात करते हैं अखंड भारत को लेके तो फिर उसको सपोर्ट करना चाहिए ना.
कौन होगा इस यूनियन में?
क्या
इस यूनियन में कौन कौन होगा?
साउथ एशिया आई गेस.
मतलब इंडिया, पाकिस्तान, बांग्लादेश, भूटान, श्रीलंका, ये सब.
हाँ नेपाल. हाँ वही सब.
हाँ सो वी ऑलरेडी हैव समथिंग कॉल्ड SAARC, राइट? साउथ एशियन अलायंस ऑफ समथिंग समथिंग, आई एम फॉरगेटिंग द फुल फॉर्म ऑफ SAARC. हमारे पास ऐसे मॉडल्स हैं. प्रॉब्लम ये है कि इंडिया का प्रॉब्लम हमेशा से ये रहा कि हमारा फॉरेन पॉलिसी आसपास के देशों को लेके इतना अच्छा नहीं रहा है. और उसका एक बड़ा कारण ये हो सकता है कि हम बहुत बड़े हैं, बहुत इन्फ्लुएंशियल हैं और बहुत सारा स्पेस ऑक्यूपाई कर जाते हैं. ऐसे देश हैं, ऐसे ऐसे लोग हैं जो कि थाईलैंड के लोग हैं, हाँ, और वो पूरी जिंदगी अमेरिका में बिताते हैं और उनको लगता है साला जो मुझे देखता है चाइनीज बोलने लगता है. वो चाइना के इन्फ्लुएंस की वजह से अपनी आइडेंटिटी क्राइसिस में आ जाती है उनकी. हमारी वजह से श्रीलंकन्स की आइडेंटिटी, नेपालियों की आइडेंटिटी, भूटान के लोगों की आइडेंटिटी कई बार निगल ली जाती है. सो ये कारण हो सकता है. हमें आसपास के देशों के साथ पहले तो अपने संबंध सुधारने होंगे, दूसरी बात उस दिशा में कुछ कदम बढ़ाने होंगे कि हाँ ऐसा एक यूनियन बन सके. और ऐसा एक यूनियन बनाने के लिए एक प्री रिक्विजिट होगा इंडिया के अंदर इंक्रीज फेडरलिज्म. अगर हम अपने स्टेट्स को ज्यादा आजादी दे पाए तो हम एक ऐसा मॉडल बन के उभरेंगे जो कि बाकियों को लगेगा कि हाँ हम भी इस यूनियन ऑफ स्टेट्स का हिस्सा एक एक्सटर्नल रूप से बन सकते हैं. हम इंडिया के अंदर एक छत्र राज स्प्रेड करने की कोशिश करेंगे भाजपा स्टाइल और बाकी देशों को बोलेंगे आओ हमारे साथ यूनियन में जुड़ जाओ. तो उनको तो वही लगेगा ना जो हमेशा से लगता रहा है कि दिस इज गोइंग टू बी अ बुली सिचुएशन फॉर अस.
यस श्योर.
आगे बढूं? मुझे किसी और को लेना है. लूं? इफ यू
अच्छा अच्छा ठीक है बाय.
ठीक है चलो बाय बाय. राइट सो एक घंटा हो चुका है. आई विल टेक टू मोर पीपल. One of them is going to be Krishna. One of them is going to be Neo Charvak. Thank you everyone else for coming. You can come next Saturday. Or if you want to wait to see if one of these calls gets over really fast and you can you can wait a little bit. But I wouldn't hold my breath. Most probably, main do hi logon ko lene wala hun. See, let's take Neo Charvak first and Krishna after that. Neo Charvak, you're online.
Hi, Vimo. So, hello. I mean, there were a lot of interesting callers today. I wish I could actually get into some of that stuff, but it's not possible. How much time do I have right now?
You have the same amount of time you have always, about 5 to 10 minutes.
I've had 40 minutes once, but sure. Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Yeah,
so,
usi ke paise kaat raha hun aaj. Us din 40 pe mile the, isliye uske paise aaj kaat raha hun. But go on, make your point. Yeah. Don't worry about time. If it's interesting, we'll
that's why I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to make a statement that you will probably agree with, but then you will not agree with my subsequent statements. All right. So, I think that despite the fact that religion gives solace, consolation, comfort, all of that to plenty of people, despite that, and it helps reduce anxiety, and there are a lot of benefits and so on, right? Fear of the future. Yeah, fear of the future, fear of death, fear of a lot of things. Despite all of this, I don't think that is a good enough reason that we should, as a civilization, as a set of people, or even in an organized way, I don't think we should reject logic and accept the metaphysical claims of religion. Do you agree?
I don't even agree with the first premise of it, like the fact that religion gives people release from anxiety and stuff. I think it may very well be the source of anxiety to a lot of people, right?
I think the fact that there is an afterlife gives a lot of solace to people who have...
But that's not all there is, right? Religion is not simply the belief that there is an afterlife. And for some people, the idea that an afterlife may actually be a cause of anxiety. If you're repeat, like in Christian households, if someone child is getting told that you'll go to hell for doing this, doing that, etc. And then they live a normal human life where they have sex and maybe they lie sometimes and then maybe they cheat a few people and then they say, okay, I'm going to be eternally tortured. Is their life going to be less stressful or more stressful?
Absolutely, that's fine. But then when you look at dharmic faiths, like the concept of Bhagavad Gita, which is recited especially after somebody dies and so on, it does give solace to a lot of people who I know and so on. For me, it hasn't worked
solace.
That way.
It doesn't give solace to everyone. It definitely doesn't give solace to me. I am horrified by the prospect that I'm going to have to continue to exist after I die. I don't want to exist after I die.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Christopher Chen said, and I agree with it as well. But then, there are a lot of people. Of course, you do agree, right? There are plenty of people
Neo Charvak, I agree that there may be some people who might find solace in the thought that they're not going to stop existing when they die. I'm just saying that this is not universal.
Okay, sure. So, I'll try to make it briefer. So, let's say if the concept of religion gives solace to a certain set of people, that is not a good enough reason that we should discard...
The concept of what? Television.
Religion and metaphysical claims.
Is something wrong with your audio? Are you using a headset or something?
Yeah. Should I disconnect?
Just use your phone, man. Your sure. voice seems to be coming through water or something. Just use your phone. Just hold it your phone like this and you talk. Hello. It says your device is not connected. Try to go into this. You're back.
So I was basically trying to say that.
Just repeat the last sentence. I joined you just now.
Yeah, I was basically trying to say that we can't institutionalize certain false statements and false metaphysical claims just because certain people find it comfortable. Correct?
Got it.
On the same page? Sure. So, approximately, what is the population of religious people worldwide? Majority of them, right? Correct?
Yes. Hello? Yes. Go on. Yeah.
And... I was going to say, if a trans person is also reassured and less depressed by the notion of their conception of themselves as the opposite sex, is that a good enough reason to throw the concept of biological sex across the board for everybody out the window and institutionalized false claims just because...
Yeah, but who's asking for it? Who's saying it? Who's saying throw the concept of our concept of biological sex out of the window for everyone, forever, everywhere? Who's saying it?
Yeah. Okay, so the entire notion of transgenderism is that gender and sex
there
are separate,
no such
but
thing
apparently
as,
gender
is... There is no such thing as transgenderism. There is an understanding of gender, which is that gender is a social construct and that sex is a biological thing. And even within sex, there is plenty of diversity because intersex people exist. At the end of the day, it ends up being about what makes someone happy, what makes someone themselves. So if someone is heterosexual, binary and everything, and they're happy being that, nobody is asking them to become another gender that they don't feel like. But if someone is stuck in an appearance that they have been classified as of belonging to one gender, but they feel like they're not belonging there, they should be free to be what they are. That's the entirety of it.
Sure, Vimo. I mean, there are logical arguments that you can make, but then at the end of the day, this is just another metaphysical claim that not everybody agrees with.
It is not metaphysical. It is based on their psychosexual identity. There is plenty of research about this. People don't just wake up one day and say, I think I'll change my gender. they feel like a certain gender since early childhood. Then they try to find ways to express themselves as it. It is not whims and fancies as you're trying to project it.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure, I can recommend. I don't know if I've done this recently, but there is a video by Forrest Valkai called Sex and Sensibility. It is a half an hour video. Please watch it. It goes into great detail about what gender dysphoria means, what gender means, what sex means in the natural world, and why we should stop fixating over how important this is. It's really not that important. Let people be who they want to be.
Have you heard of Colin Wright? He has written the op-ed, Sex is Not a Spectrum.
No, I have not heard of them.
All right, Let's do one thing.
Send me the link to this article on Instagram. Right. I will read it. And you watch the video by Forrest Valkai that I just shared. And then we will talk next time about it. Cool?
I just want to say one thing. So it's not even, at this point, it's not even religious.
Your voice is cutting off.
Yeah, at one point, am I audible now?
Yes, you're audible.
Yeah, at one point it was guy's religion, but at this point it has become the same as religion, because you do know that now the abbreviation is 2S LGBTQIA, right? You know what the 2S stands for, Two Spirit. So
Make it religion? Do they believe in a supernatural creator?
That is literally borrowed from Native American religious traditions, which say that both male and female spirits exist within
certain humans. Neo Jarvag, you are speaking as someone who calls themselves a Hindu atheist. You of all people should not have a problem with it.
No, but I call myself a Hindu atheist. You're
an atheist
reasons.
Who calls himself Hindu atheist, and you have a problem with some people using nomenclature from certain religious traditions in order to define a movement which is about the importance of being able to express their gender identity.
I don't make any metaphysical claims, Vimo. I don't mention reincarnation or
nobody
karma
is.
Or any of
they're
that
also case. Not making any metaphysical claims. They're using a name. That's not a metaphysical claim. What metaphysical claims are they making? I told you psychosexual identity is a thing that exists. There is research on this. The video by Forrest Valkai will educate you on it. Watch it and then come back. We will talk. And don't forget to send me the link that you mentioned. I will also read it.
Also, the notion that sex itself is a kind of a false notion just because... So, the excuse that they use is intersex
nobody says that. And chromosome nobody aberration. Nobody says that. Sex is not a notion. Sex is a reality. There are sexes. But the idea of what we define as sex is complicated even further by the existence of intersex people. If you watch the video by Forrest Valkai, you will find out about this also. I don't think we should talk about this anymore, because your understanding about this is very limited. Watch the video, then come back.
I did watch the video. I think I've watched a part of it. I have just like one clarification. I mean, what exactly is gender? Is it separate from sex? And if it is separated from sex,
have you seen the video or not?
I have watched a bit of it. Haven't watched it.
Which video? Tell me.
I have watched the video in which you recommended it. So I kind of skimmed over the same video.
Don't skim over it. Watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's called Sex and Sensibility. By Forrest Valkai. Please watch it and then come back. We will talk. Because right now you're not making any sense.
All right. Thank you.
That's it. Hello. Neo Charvak, you got muted. Is that it?
Yeah, sure. Ramon.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Bye-bye. Thanks. That was Neo Charvak. Before I take Krishna, let me just thank the people who sent money today. I completely forgot. Balmiki Ghosh sends... CHF? What is CHF? Anyway, two of those, whatever they are. Amit Matthew sends $10. Amit, thank you very much. Deepan says, I asked to remove previous uploads because I could not explain properly. You can leave live recordings unedited. You may upload today's. Thank you. Love your work. Thank you, Deep. But I don't think I'll be making clips out of your stuff today because I'm worried that you might come back next week and then ask me to remove it, because removing it does cost me money. I can't remove the live streams because they're numbered, right? But I will try to remove your face from the live stream that already exists. The clips I won't be making of you anymore, because it's just one time you have a problem, you're gone, man. I don't hate you, but I hope you realize you have complicated my life to a great degree. Amit says, I stand by my claim that Neo-Charvak should rebrand from Hindu atheist to conservative atheist. If only. If only. Hi, Krishna.
Hi. Am I audible?
Hi. Yes, you're audible and visible. By the way, before you start, I must ask you, are you okay with being on this video?
Of course, of course.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, I'm going to talk in Hindi. तो सबसे पहले तो मैं बोलना चाहूंगा रिसेंटली मैंने आपका चैनल देखा है यार, मजा आ गया आपका कंटेंट देख के और मुझे बहुत अच्छा लगता है कि आप बहुत ही ज्यादा गुस्सा भी नहीं होते कैसे भी किसी से बात करते हो, अपना कोरम बना के रखते तो मेरा
ये एक्चुअली बहुत से लोगों के मन में एक गलत धारणा पैदा करता है कि मुझे गुस्सा नहीं आता है, मुझे गुस्सा आता है यार। अगर ईश्वर में विश्वास करते हो तो ईश्वर से प्रार्थना करो कि तुम्हें कभी मेरा गुस्सा ना देखना पड़े। मैं अपने गुस्से को कंट्रोल में रख लेता हूँ, पर ऐसा नहीं है कि मुझे गुस्सा नहीं आता है। सो ये मत सोचो कि मैं गुस्सा नहीं करता। हाँ बोलिए।
हाँ तो मेरा एक क्वेश्चन था, मैं इस पे रिसर्च कर रहा था थोड़ी सी कि हिंदुइज्म में मूर्ति पूजा कैसे स्टार्ट हुई। तो पूरा मैं इतिहास से देख रहा, तो हमारे पास जैसे भीमबेटका के केव्स है उसमें भी हमको मतलब गॉड्स नहीं मिलते हैं, मतलब ऐसा नहीं पता चलता है कि ये लोग पूजा कर रहे हैं। हम अगर इंडस वैली सिविलाइजेशन भी देखें तो हमको पता चलता है कि वहां भी नहीं है मूर्ति पूजा, वहां कोई मंदिर नहीं है। अगर हम वैदिक भी पढ़े तो किसी भी वेद में कहीं भी मंदिर शब्द का जिक्र भी नहीं है और राम कृष्ण और ये शिव भी मेंशन नहीं है। एक जगह शायद शिव का कोई एडजेक्टिव यूज किया हुआ है लेकिन वो भी किसी और देवता के लिए यूज किया है।
कृष्ण आपका जो वीडियो ऑडियो है ना, आपको मुझे लगता है थोड़ा सा कैलिब्रेट करने की जरूरत है क्योंकि ऑडियो थोड़ा सा फ्लक्चुएट कर रहा है। आप स्ट्रीमयार्ड के जो सेटिंग्स दिख रहा ना नीचे, उसके अंदर जाके अपना रेजोल्यूशन थोड़ा कम कर दीजिए।
ओके ओके।
सेटिंग्स पे क्लिक करेंगे तो क्या? हाँ
हाँ कर दिया।
कर दिया। एक सेकंड तो मैं आपको अभी थोड़ा फ्रीज हो गया है, एक सेकंड मैं आपको स्क्रीन से हटा के वापस लाता हूँ।
अब ठीक है।
हाँ बोलिए बोलिए।
हाँ तो मैं दिख रहा था कि वैदिक लिटरेचर पे भी मतलब मूर्ति पूजा नहीं है, तो फिर ये आई कैसे? तो जैसे मैंने दिखा रिसर्च किया कि कौन सी सबसे जो लास्ट में मतलब मुझे मूर्ति मिली है किसी भी इंडिया में किसी गॉड की, तो मुझे पहुंचाऊं तो मुझे लगा है कि शायद कनिष्क की फर्स्ट जब था उस टाइम पे सबसे पहली बार मंदिर बने। तो ये क्या ऐसा है क्या कि जो कनिष्क फर्स्ट था वो अफगानिस्तान से के पास से आया था, वो बैक्ट्रिया अम्पायर का पहले वहां पे वहां से इन्फ्लुएंस था, तो मे बी कि उसको जो इन्फ्लुएंस मिला है वो उसे ग्रीक मैथोलॉजी से मिला और वहां मूर्ति पूजा होती थी, वो ट्रेडिशन इंडिया में लेके आया और उसने यहाँ पे देखा कि यहाँ के जो रीजनल गॉड है यानी बुद्धिज्म उस समय फेमस था, तो उन्होंने बुद्धिस्ट की मूर्ति बनाना स्टार्ट करी और ये स्टेट इंस्पॉन्सर्ड था। फिर जब बुद्धिज्म में आ गया तो उसके बाद और लोगों ने भी इसे कैप्चर किया और फिर बाद में जो शंकराचार्य आए तो उन्होंने अद्वैत और वेदांत ये पॉपुलर किया, तो उन्होंने भी एक कारण से मतलब रिलीजन को वैसा कर दिया कि इतना सरल बना दिया कि आम इंसान भी मतलब एक्सेप्ट कर सके। क्योंकि जैसे वैदिक लिटरेचर का भी जो धर्म है उसमें मुझे लगता है कि ऐसा कॉन्सेप्ट नहीं है कि हम ईश्वर से सीधे बात कर सके, मतलब आम जनता की बात कर रहा हूँ हमसे, क्योंकि हर चीज के लिए पुरोहित चाहिए। अगर मुझे ये भी मांगना है कि मेरे खेत में बरसात हो जाए तो मैं सीधे नहीं
ब्राह्मणवाद मैं
हाँ कि मैं एक ब्राह्मण के पास जाऊंगा, मैं उससे बोलूंगा कि यार तुम करो मेरा काम और अब ये बरसात करवानी है मुझे, तो क्या ये बात सच है? आपको क्या लगता है? और मतलब मैं ये चाहता हूँ कि सिर्फ आप भी नहीं,
इसके बारे में
आप अपलोड करते हैं तो मतलब जो और कोई भी जो देख रहे हैं उस पर भी वो कंक्रीट अपना व्यू जरूर दें।
तो मेरा ये है कि फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल मैं आर्कियोलॉजिस्ट नहीं हूँ, मैंने थोड़ा बहुत इतिहास पढ़ा है और जहाँ तक मेरा जानना है इसके बारे में कुछ प्रेवलेंट थियोरीज हैं। एक सबसे पहला और सबसे इम्पोर्टेंट बात, जो कहानियाँ हम सुनते हैं यू नो दसियों हजारों साल पुरानी सभ्यता की, वो कंप्लीट बकवास है। हिंदू धर्म के नाम पे अभी जिन चीज़ों का हम फॉलो करते हैं वो एक्चुअली एक कंग्लोमरेशन है कई सारी ट्राइबल आइडेंटिटीज़ का, कई सारी ट्राइबल गॉड्स और डीटीज़ का, जिसको हमने किसी तरह जोड़ के एक कल्चर का निर्माण करने की कोशिश की है। इसमें से बहुत सारी चीजें बौद्ध परंपराओं से आती हैं। जहां तक मंदिरों का सवाल है, यस इट इज वन प्रेवलेंट थियोरी अमंग हिस्टोरियंस दैट टेंपल बिल्डिंग भारत में ग्रीक आर्किटेक्चर के इन्फ्लुएंस के बाद शुरू हुई है बौद्ध काल में, और ये पूरी तरह से संभव है आपने जो कहा। ऑल्दो इसके डिटेल्स के बारे में मैं कॉमेंट नहीं कर सकता क्योंकि मुझे याद नहीं आ रहा या मैंने पढ़ा नहीं है, जब याद आएगा और पढ़ूंगा तो बोल दूंगा। पर हाँ ये इंडस वैली सिविलाइजेशन में भी हमको मंदिरों के कहीं लक्षण नहीं दिखते, बल्कि इंडस वैली सिविलाइजेशन में तो संस्कृत भाषा के भी लक्षण नहीं दिखते, और इससे बड़ा सबूत कुछ हो ही नहीं सकता कि जिन जिन चीज़ों को वेद कहा जाता है, वेद लाखों साल पुराने या सॉरी हजारों साल पुराने, वो अगर इंडस वैली सिविलाइजेशन के टाइम पे नहीं थे तो ऑब्वियसली उसके बाद में आए हैं, मौर्य काल में आए हैं, और मोस्ट प्रोबेबली रामायण और महाभारत की कृति भी उसी काल में की गई है।
नहीं नहीं, रामायण पे तो मैंने एक्चुअली वीडियो भी बनाया था एक बार, रामायण तो बहुत ही ज्यादा रिसेंटली है, क्योंकि आपको शायद अगर आपने पढ़ा
होगा पिछले हफ्ते लिखा था किसी ने
हाँ, क्योंकि शायद आपने महर्षि पाणिनि को पढ़ा होगा शायद, तो मैं मतलब महर्षि पाणिनि
हाँ
तो क्या है कि हाँ तो जैसे संस्कृत थोड़ी बहुत नॉलेज है मुझे, तो मैं संस्कृत को देख के बता सकता हूँ कि ये महर्षि पाणिनि के पहले की संस्कृत है या उसके बाद की संस्कृत है, क्योंकि बहुत सारे ग्रामर्स के रूल हैं जो महर्षि पाणिनि ने ही दिए हैं, और जो रामायण महाभारत जितने भी हैं वो सारे महर्षि पाणिनि के बाद के, तो ये बात तो कंफर्म है कि मौर्य काल में तो कोई जानता भी नहीं था राम को उस टाइम, तो कंफर्म बात है, क्योंकि जो सबसे पुराना भी जो मैन्युस्क्रिप्ट्स है रामायण की भी, उसमें भी वो ग्रामर के रूल यूज किए गए हैं जो कि महर्षि पाणिनि ने दिए, तो उसमें तो कोई सीन ही नहीं है। हाँ, तो ये मूर्ति पूजा वाला मेरा था। और एक बार आपने बोला था एक बार कि इंडिया में मतलब आप एक एक्स हिंदू है इसलिए आप हिंदुत्व पे ज्यादा बात करते हैं और आप इस्लामिज्म पे बात नहीं करते, लेकिन मैं इससे थोड़ा सा डिसएग्री करता हूँ। मुझे ऐसा लगता है कि जो इस्लामिज्म है वो एक पॉजिटिव आइडियोलॉजी है, जो एक हिंदुत्व है ये एक निगेटिव आइडियोलॉजी है। सी
मतलब
जो मतलब समझिए मैं क्या कह रहा हूँ कि
हाँ नहीं ऐसे शब्दों में बोलोगे तो लोग गलत समझेंगे ना, साफ साफ।
हाँ 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 तो जैसे इस्लामिज्म है कि वो अपना फंडामेंटल जो रिलीजन है उसका जो फंडामेंटल उनका इंटरप्रिटेशन है उसको भी इन्फोर्स करना चाहते हैं, पर हिंदुत्व वालों को अपने रिलीजन से कोई मतलब नहीं है, मुझे ऐसा लगता है। जैसे कि मैं बताऊं कि जैसे कि गंगा की बात है, ठीक है, बिहार में 100% जो स्वेज है वो अनट्रीटेड जाता है गंगा में, ठीक है, और यूपी में 60% ऐसे अनट्रीटेड जाता है, तो हमारी गाय हमारी गंगा माँ है, लेकिन हम सबको पता है कि हम उसमें टट्टी डाल रहे हैं, हमको कोई दिक्कत नहीं है, लेकिन अगर अभी पता चल जाएगा कि कोई मुसलमान उसमें गंदगी डाल रहा है तो हम उसे मॉब लिंचिंग कर देंगे। जैसे हम सबको पता है कि हम जो पन्नी फेंकते हैं उससे गाय मर जाती है, और मैं एनजीओ में काम भी करता है दिल्ली में, तो हम लोग देखते थे कि एक एक गाय के पेट में 10-10 किलो से ज्यादा 12-12 किलो से ज्यादा पन्नी निकलता था जिसका हम ऑपरेशन करवाते थे, लेकिन अगर हमको पता है कि ये पन्नी रहेगा क्योंकि हमें गाय से कोई मतलब नहीं है, लेकिन हाँ अगर कोई मुसलमान गाय को मारेगा तो हम मारेंगे। और मैं पहले
उनका कोर मतलब जो कॉज एंड इफेक्ट है ना, गाय को कुछ हुआ इसकी वजह से हमने कुछ किया, वो नहीं है, हमको कुछ करना है इसीलिए हम गाय को बहाना बना के वो चीज कर देंगे।
तो बहुत सारी जो हिंदुत्व की आइडियोलॉजी है वो एक्चुअली इस्लामिज्म से ही आई है, जैसे कि मतलब कि किसी को लिंच कर देना या फिर अपनी हमारी मतलब समझा, जैसे कि हम आरएसएस की भी बात करें तो आरएसएस भी कब बना था, जब मुस्लिम लीग बन चुका था और कांग्रेस में जो गर्म दल के लोग थे वो अपना प्रभुत्व खो चुके थे, तो जो नेशनलिस्ट लोग थे यानी जो हिंदुत्व के लोग थे उनको लगा कि कांग्रेस तो अब उनके हाथ से गई और इस मुस्लिम लीग के काउंटर खड़ा हो रहा है, तो उन्होंने उसके काउंटर में मतलब हिंदुत्व खड़ा किया है। और जितना भी अगर उसको पढ़ता हूं मैं मतलब सावरकर को या इसको, तो मुझे ऐसा ही लगता है कि इसने देखा कि यार इस्लामिज्म एक आइडियोलॉजी है, एक मुस्लिम नेशनलिज्म है, मुझको हिंदू नेशनलिज्म चाहिए, तो उसने कुछ आर्किटेक्चर कर लिया।
तो आप ये अच्छा आप उसको नेगेटिव आइडियोलॉजी इसलिए कह रहे थे क्योंकि वो किसी चीज की नेगेशन करने की इच्छा से उत्पन्न हुआ है।
अगर इस्लामिज्म नहीं होता, अगर इस्लामिज्म नहीं होता तो इंडिया में हिंदुत्व नहीं होता, ये कह रहा हूं मैं कि अगर हिंदुत्व इस्लामिज्म है इसीलिए हिंदुत्व है, तो अगर हमको हिंदुत्व खत्म करना है तो हमको पहले इस्लामिज्म को टारगेट करना पड़ेगा, फिर वहां से वो ही लॉजिक लेके वो ही हमें हिंदुत्व पे लगाना पड़ेगा, तभी हम दोनों को एक साथ टैकल कर सकते।
सो मेरा व्यू इसके बारे में थोड़ा सा अलग है, और वो ये है कि जो हिंदुत्व है उसका ओरिजिन ब्राह्मणवाद है। ब्राह्मणवाद ने अपने आप को रेलिवेंट बनाए रखने के लिए इस्लामिज्म के भी कंधे पे पांव रख के चढ़ा, राइट, और अभी उस पोजीशन पर पहुंचा है जहां वो पहुंचा है। बट प्राइमरीली अगर आप हिंदुत्व के पूरे एजेंडे को देखें तो ये दलित विरोधी है, ये ब्राह्मणवाद है। सो हिंदुत्व का जो फॉर्म है, जो दिखता है वो एंटी मुस्लिम हो सकता है, पर उसका जो इंटेंशन है वो एंटी मुस्लिम सेंटिमेंट का बस इस्तेमाल करता है। एंटी मुस्लिम डेफिनेटली है, मुसलमानों को बहुत हार्म होता है, बट दैट इज नॉट इट्स कोर फंक्शन। द कोर फंक्शन इज टू यूज मुस्लिम्स as a distraction so that it can engage in casteism.
Okay, हाँ हो सकता है वैसे, क्योंकि मैं भी मतलब आरएसएस के स्कूल में रहा हूँ, तो मैं ये नहीं कह सकता कि ऐसा सबके साथ होता है या आरएसएस ऐसा संगठन है, लेकिन मैं बताना चाहूंगा कि जब मैंने सिक्स क्लास में एंट्रेंस दिया था आरएसएस के स्कूल में, तो मेरी अच्छी खासी रैंक आई थी क्योंकि आई वाज अ टॉपर देयर। मतलब जब मैं बाद में गया तो स्कूल में टॉपर बन गया मैं। लेकिन जब मैं मुझे सी सेक्शन में डाला, गा सेक्शन था, और टीचर पहली दिन से आके बोलने लगे कि गा से गोबर, गा से गोबर। तो मैं कभी समझा ही नहीं कि यार अभी तो कोई एग्जाम भी नहीं हुआ, अभी नहीं कैसे पता चल गया कि हमारी क्लास बेवकूफ है, मैं ओबीसी कैटेगरी से आता हूँ। फिर मुझे पता चला कि पूरी क्लास में सारे ओबीसी, एससी और एसटी थे।
भंवर मेघवंशी की किताब, भंवर मेघवंशी की किताब है ना, मैं हिंदू ना बन सका या कुछ, या आरएसएस में रहने वाले, आरएसएस से आने वाले कई ओबीसी या दलितों को पता चलता है कि यार पूरी जिंदगी बेकार गई।
हाँ, तो मुझे ये बाद में रियलाइज हुआ कि यार ये गा से गोबर क्यों बोल रहे हैं। मतलब कोई एग्जाम होता है या कोई, और कुछ टीचरों ने काफी कोशिश भी करी कि मैं क्लास का टॉपर ना बन पाऊं क्योंकि मैं ओबीसी बैकग्राउंड से आता हूँ, लेकिन तो ये तो साफ है कि मतलब
करेंगे बात इसके बारे में करेंगे। मैं ऑडियंस को बता दूं, अनमीडिया इनका जो यूट्यूब चैनल है उसके ऊपर मैं इन्होंने मुझे इनवाइट किया है। हो सकता है आने वाले हफ्ते या दो हफ्ते के अंदर ऐसा हो जाए और तब हम इन सब चीजों के बारे में बात करने की कोशिश करेंगे।
चलिए चलिए, ठीक है, थैंक यू।
थैंक यू कृष्णा,
थैंक यू।
इज दैट ऑल? और कुछ था?
हाँ, आई थिंक इनफ फॉर टुडे।
ओके कूल, ठीक है, चलो बाय बाय। That was Krishna. His channel is Unmedia. If you guys want to check it out, I'm at 1 hour 30 minutes. But मेरे में थोड़ी एनर्जी बची है और मेरा गला miraculously दर्द नहीं कर रहा है. I don't know why. Maybe I'm finally okay. So I have a few people here. Let me check out who wants to talk about what. अरे भाई, you want to talk to me, but about what? Topic तो बताओ. लोगों ने बस मतलब जैसे बर्गर ऑर्डर किया, आई वांट टू टॉक टू यू नेक्स्ट अबाउट व्हाट। ओके, देयर इज समवन कॉल्ड, ओके ही इज गॉन, ही इज नॉट हियर। देयर इज समवन कॉल्ड, देयर इज समवन कॉल्ड यश, लेट्स टेक यश। हाय यश, यू आर ऑनलाइन।
हाय विमो, एम आई ऑडिबल?
यस, यू आर ऑडिबल। You want to talk about an alternative method to science about knowing the world?
Yes, I mean this comes from basically my education, my location as a science, as a student of social science, arts / humanities.
Okay.
That what you present as, not you, I mean what is called scientific reason.
Yes, could you speak a little louder?
Hello, is it better now?
Yeah, much better.
Yeah. So what is known as scientific reason or scientific way of looking at the world has a history. And in the modern era, what we understand, as we understand science, has developed in Europe, primarily in the last 4 to 5 centuries. But that is just one way of looking at the world, which named the method, I mean, broadly said, it's observation, experimentation, measurement, testing, somewhere within this hypothesis. So that's one way of looking at the world, but that cannot give us the entire picture. So in social sciences, we have many different methodologies of looking at the world. One of them is called, for example, hermeneutics, which emphasizes that merely by observation, you cannot know everything about the world. So hermeneutics is basically the art or the way, it's a science of interpretation. That
how does it work?
Not
how
all
does
meaning.
Give me an example of it in action.
So the example of it is that if I were to look at the color red from a scientific understanding, I would never be able to decode that red stands for, say, love, or red stands for stop, or red stands for communism. These meanings are not observable. In as much as to understand that the red means these things, you need to have certain interpersonal or social understanding, which never comes from observation, which comes from interpretation. And that interpretation is always dependent on where you are located inside or within the society.
Yes.
Yes.
But Yash, can I just point something out? When you say an alternative method to science, surely you don't mean that hermeneutics can replace the scientific method. I'm willing to accept that the scientific method may not give us cultural understandings. and hermeneutics mm-hmm. might give us cultural understandings, but they both have to work yes. together, right?
So
like, I'm not a huge fan of using scientific mm-hmm. method to uncover social realities. Mm-hmm. I think that's a disaster in the making. Yeah, it frequently ends in a disaster. And I have written about this
that's
myself.
Precisely where I was coming.
Yeah.
That's so precisely science, where I was coming that.
So I just want to be clear, you are not proposing hermeneutics as a replacement to the scientific method, right?
Not scientific method to understand the natural world, but the dominant tendency around the world in, say, universities today around the world is that...
Oh, got it. I agree with only, you. Huh.
Okay. Yeah, so that was my basic point that...
I'm not very well versed in the methods that you're speaking of, but I do think that social mm-hmm. understandings frequently betray the scientific mm-hmm. method, and the scientific method is definitely not suited to understanding a lot. Our biggest problem is our policies are being made by effing engineers. They don't understand how the world works, and they are trying to turn everything into a data problem because they have not been educated in social sciences or history or sociology.
So in fact, many people also want to bring the science within, not just engineers, even people in the humanities or arts.
Your voice is kind of breaking.
Yeah, I was saying that, is it better now?
Yeah, just use this method, whatever this is. Don't move to the other one.
Okay. So what I was saying was that it's not just engineers who are culpable of this. Even people in arts and humanities themselves see scientific knowledge as a benchmark. So for example, the subject that I have studied in, it's called political science, whereas political and science are like oxymoron. The two mm-hmm. cannot go together. But so the point is that, what hermeneutics would say is
there's a longer conversation about how economics is not a science and that political science is not really a science. Mm-hmm. But I always thought that was just a name. Like, nobody actually treats them like a science. They're humanities subjects.
No, in that they want to achieve what is called a universality of knowledge. That is, these are some of the characteristics of science. And there are many thinkers, sociologists especially, who have tried to incorporate the scientific method to understand the social world. And what they brought up is called positivism. It was brought up by a guy called Auguste Comte, who was a French sociologist.
Logical
and that
positivism.
Has sort of become... Yeah, that is after positivism.
Okay.
Yeah, but it originates with Auguste Comte, who is also the father of sociology. And what that does is it says, okay, all people... So they will say something like human behavior, that human behavior is rational. And then they will see it as universal, that what stands true for an American should stand true for a Nigerian and Indian, etc. What stands true for a 15th century Indian should stand true for a 21st century Indian. So in that, so they see that reason cuts across space and time. Space, time, culture, location does not play a role.
Yeah, it doesn't.
But hermeneutics would say that, no, it does play a role. Your location in space, time, culture does affect the way you look at the world. There is nothing like, or what you think is objective is not really that objective. The subject, the one who looks at it, also has a role to play in what you think is knowledge.
Yeah. I don't think there is any disagreement. There is any major disagreement from me to this. I think the scientific method is valid. Great. It is a great method to understand the natural world, but social realities are a different ball game, and data gathering and data, you know, the kind of approach that we have seen through big data and everything, where millions of human lives are treated with contempt because it's a small fraction of the data set, it creates more problems than it solves. And I don't disagree with most of what you've said.
I am reminded of one line in Rohit Vemula's poem where he said that I'm not treated as a mind, but as a number.
Yeah.
Okay, then cool. Thank you, Vimo.
Thank you, Yash. Thank you. Bye-bye. That was Yash. That was Yash. And that was also our last call for the day. I'm not taking any more callers, guys. I'm talked out. सुपर चैट्स नहीं है और कुछ मेंबर कमेंट्स यहाँ कुछ तो रिफ्रेश का एरर हो रहा है. आई थिंक देयर इज सो मेनी कमेंट्स दैट इज डिफिकल्ट टू रीड ऑल ऑफ देम. बट एवरीवन हुज इन द चैट, यू कैन रिमूव योरसेल्फ्स. वी आर एंडिंग द लाइव स्ट्रीम नाउ. प्लीज रिमेंबर दैट दिस चैनल इज मोनेटाइज्ड. यू कैन सपोर्ट इट बाई बिकमिंग अ मेंबर. यू कैन ऑल्सो सपोर्ट इट थ्रू पेट्रियन एट patreon.com/vimo एंड थ्रू UPI, vimo@UPI, vimoh@UPI. All the platforms take a cut, but UPI, all the contribution you send comes to me directly, so that's always a better option. In addition, you can just, you know, go to my website at www.vimo.in and click the support button there to make a contribution of any amount of your choice. So thank you to everyone who was here. I will now remove all the people who are here waiting, because there is no more time. Something else I wanted to tell you. Was there? What is it today? Saturday. Nope. I completely forgot. Anyway, so thank you to everyone who was here today to talk. There's a bunch of great conversations, actually, with the possible exception of one or two. But no, I don't mean that. I think every conversation was great. Thank you for joining. I will see you on Wednesday when I'll be reading comments and responding to questions. Until then, subscribe to the channel and become a member so you can help me do this. Thanks in advance. Until next time, take care of yourselves and good night.